the topic this morning is worry. And I guess the goal is to find out if there's a cure. Worry dominates many people's lives, and perhaps you're one of those people that it does dominate your life, or perhaps you're a person who can worry a little too much, but you're not going to admit it goes quite that far. Maybe you're a person who worries just a little. And maybe you're just one of those people who thinks you're immune. And if you think you're immune, that's okay. You can sit back and take a good nap, and maybe next week's sermon will be for you. But my guess is, if we're honest, worry can entrench on all of our lives. Now, in my family, there are some professional worriers. And I'm not going to name names because I have found out these sermons do go on the internet. And just in case, the only people who would probably go look for them would be my family and find out they'd been named as a professional worrier. I might get some flack for that. So they know who they are if they would be honest. But there are some professional worriers in my family. And I thought I had done a really good job of avoiding that particular family inheritance. That I wasn't like them. I didn't worry. Well, not that much anyway. Well, only about important stuff, perhaps. But very recently, I have begun to realize that worry has taken a stronghold in my life. It has snuck up on me and snuck into things and gotten to be there without me even noticing it. Till after a while, it's become a habit. Worry is there. And I thought about doing this scripture, and I thought about all kinds of ways to avoid admitting that this scripture was for me and that had a very powerful message for my life. There have been some things going on this week that have made this message particularly challenging in letting things to God and not keeping them close to me and worrying about them and seeing how I personally can fix them. In fact, there's always those things that come up in life. And I was very recently talking to a very dear friend about some things that were happening in my life and my sense about them and my concern. And I was very upset with this person's response because they looked me right in the eye and they said, "You're not trusting God." I said, "What do you mean I'm not trusting God? I always trust God. I'm good at trusting God. I'm a pastor, for heaven's sakes. You know, I'm supposed to be a professional God truster." Right? Well, but what made me most mad, if that's a grammatically correct statement, madder than anything else about my friend's statement, was he was right. I was not trusting God. I'd like to share a story with you that was shared with me. Been listening to some sermons lately that are by one of my favorite preachers, John Ortberg, and they're very inspiring for me. And this is a story I've heard of his several times. He's used it in several different settings. And I thought it was so appropriate today as we're thinking about this scripture and where worry might be in our life versus trusting God. He lived in California at the time, and his wife gave him a very special and very unique birthday present. A ride in a hot air balloon. Now, he was really looking forward to this and incredibly excited. And they got there and they got in the balloon and they were way up in the air and they could see miles and miles, the mountains, the ocean, the beauty. And it was awe-inspiring. And he was filled with just an incredible number of emotions. But he was filled with one he had not anticipated. And that was terror. Absolute terror. Now, he had always kind of pictured hot air balloons with their baskets at coming to, you know, about waist height. You know, maybe even a little higher. In this particular hot air balloon, the basket came down to about his knees. And so as he was holding on to the ropes with his knuckles turning white and feeling this sense of terror, there was one thing that made him feel better. He looked over and saw his wife was even more afraid than he. And he thought, you know, I can really give myself a pep talk and say, you know, do some positive thinking and say, you know, everything is going to be okay. This is just my imagination. Everything's fine. And I think sometimes that's our first approach to worry. We try to talk ourselves out of it, give ourselves a little pep talk. But he realized no matter what he thought, the reality was his life was in the hands of the balloon pilot. And no matter whether he felt positive about the pilot or negative about the pilot, that was still the truth. So he decided he was going to get to know this man and started asking him some questions. He asked him what he did for a living. And he found out he really didn't have a job. He was an out-of-work surfer. So he started to talk to him about how he got into hot air ballooning. And he said, well, my brother and I had been out and had too much to drink. And on the way home, we got in a car accident. And from that accident, my brother was crippled and couldn't get around as he once had. And this was a way I could give my brother another view of the world and a little bit more mobility. And the conversation went on. And he said, oh, and, you know, apologize for any bumps or turbulence or whatever the right word would be on the way down, because I've never flown this particular balloon before. So I wish I had the exact phrase that he used when he said, his wife turned to him and said, so you mean to tell me we are 1,000 feet up in the air with an out-of-work surfer who's doing this because, you know, he was in a drinking driving accident and is not sure he knows how to get us back down. It really wouldn't matter how much he gave himself a pep talk. It really wouldn't matter what he convinced himself was true or not true. The question was the pilot trustworthy? And that's really the questions for our lives. Is God trustworthy? Is God worthy of our trust? Can he be trusted to pilot our lives? Because whether we worry about it or not worry about it, that is really the question that we need an answer to. It may be tempting to think that maybe God isn't so trustworthy because, after all, people who are Christians, things still happen to. They still face incredible adversity. We know Christians who have lost jobs, who have been diagnosed with cancer, who have lost precious family members, who have gone hungry. And we might wonder, is God trustworthy? And because God's love for us and God's presence in our lives doesn't seem to protect us from bad things happening, it might be really, really tempting to decide, well, we'll just take things back into our own hands then, thank you very much, and see what we can do about keeping bad things from happening. The interesting thing about our scripture this morning, and the reason I think it's so important we read verse 34 along with the rest of it, is in all that Jesus is saying here, the one thing he is not saying is that bad things won't happen to us. In fact, Jesus says, you know, each day is going to have enough trouble of its own. I mean, there is almost a guaranteed promise from Jesus. I guarantee you, today we'll have trouble. Trouble enough that you don't even need to worry about tomorrow till you get through today. that may not seem very reassuring. But there's something else about this scripture that I noticed that I think I would like to draw to your attention. The whole thing starts with the therefore. And what comes above the therefore I tell you in verse 25 is Jesus' statements that I think are probably still very familiar to us about serving two masters. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate one and love the other, or will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. The real question comes down to, what is our life going to be about? What are we going to put our trust in? Are we going to put our trust in ourselves? Are we going to put our trust in our possessions? Or are we going to put our trust in God? And Jesus says we only get one choice. We don't get to say, well, I'll take A and B, or A, B, and C actually all sound pretty good, and I'll cover all my bases. We only get one choice. And this scripture says that if we choose God and we seek first the kingdom things, then the rest of it will fall into place. Maybe not neatly and smoothly and easily, but the rest of it will fall into place. Interestingly enough, I was at Continuing Education on Saturday for my Spiritual Directors program, and this same scripture was the opening scripture for our school that day. And the woman who led the class had brought with her a piece of pottery that she had bought when she was out west. It was an Apache seed jar. And it was just a clay jar about, you know, with the bottom of it being about the size of the palm of my hand. And it looked a lot like what any student would make in a pottery class in school. It was about this tall and, it, you know, kind of rounded. Well, so they could put their seeds in there and take them from place to place as they traveled. The unique thing about this very ordinary jar was that they would take rawhide strips, very narrow rawhide strips, and they would tie them around the top of the jar and then loop them around the jar so that the jar was held by these rawhide strips that came up around it. And that served two purposes. One, it allowed them to hang through these all these rawhide strips, these seed jars on their saddles as they traveled from place to place. But it also took care of one other thing. You see, pottery is fragile, and it often cracks. And if these jars would happen to crack, the rawhide would hold them together. I don't believe that in these verses Jesus promises anything about not cracking. Life is fragile, and sometimes it breaks. But the promise is that if we seek God, and we allow our life not to be about the things we're seeking, that are, like, if we don't make our life about seeking things, things that break, things that go wrong, things that let us down, but if we make our life about seeking God, then when those other things crack, God can be there to be what holds it together. I wish I had one of these Apache seed jars because I'd like to do what she did next. In fact, I wish I had a bunch of them, because I'd like to send one home with each and every one of you. She took the jar, and she passed it to the first person. And she said, now I want you to just fill that jar up with what concerns you have in your life today. Just put them in that jar and give them to God. And she said, I promise you, when we're over today, if you want them back, you can have them. I wish I had one of those jars to pass around to each and every one of you that you could have a place to put your worries. But we've already been given that place, Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's just a beautiful, but it's a beautiful image. And I think in that verse 34, Jesus gives us an invitation that, you know, you have enough troubles in one day, so don't borrow troubles from the next. Sometimes even serving God can become one of those things we worry about. Are we doing enough? Are we trusting God enough? Are we giving our worries to Him enough? And I want to give you an invitation to give God a test, to experiment a little, to not have to do it all at once, but take one worry and one day. If you're a professional worrier, one worry in 5 minutes. You know, whatever is that first baby 1% test, just give it a try. Give that worry to God. And when tomorrow comes, you can have it back if you want it. And don't beat yourself up if you do want it back, even though you know better the next day. You've got the next day to give it back to Him again. Give it a try. See what happens. Put God to the test. You've been invited to seek God first and let Him help you take care of the rest. Perhaps you've seen or heard this, but Joe got this on an Emmaus walk and he brought it home to put it on my fridge. You know, I don't know why. Good morning. This is God. I will be handling all your problems today. I will not need your help. So have a good day. That's my challenge to you. To take one problem and one day, give it to God, and see what happens. If you want it back, you can get it back tomorrow.